Testament lesson is from VBS. It's Daniel chapter 3, verses 13 to 30. Hear this word of God for you today. Then King Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought in. So they brought those men before the king, and he said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods? That you do not worship the golden statue I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn and the drum and the musical ensemble, to fall down and worship that statue, well and good. But if you do not, you will immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to present a defense to you in this matter. If our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace out of your hand, O king, let him deliver us. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods and we will not worship the golden statue you set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was so filled with rage against the three men that his face was distorted, and he ordered the furnace heated up 7 times more than customary, and ordered some of the strongest guards in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing fire. So these men were bound, still wearing their tunics, their hats, their garments, and they were thrown into the furnace of blazing fire. Because the king's command was so urgent and the furnace was so overheated, the raging flames killed the men who lifted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But those three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the furnace of blazing fire. Then the king was astonished. He rose up quickly. He said to his counselors, "Was it not three men that I threw into the fire?" They answered the king, "True, O king." And he replied, "I see 4 men, unbound, walking in the middle of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the 4th one has the appearance of a god." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the door of the furnace and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out." So they came out from the fire. And the satraps, prefects, the governors, the king's counselors, they all gathered together and they saw that this fire had no power over these men. The hair on their heads was not singed. Their tunics were not harmed. Not even the smell of fire came from them. So Nebuchadnezzar said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. They disobeyed the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon our hearts, our minds, our lives. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So if you don't already know, it's probably good to know a little bit about King Nebuchadnezzar, who he was, what he did, and just how evil his empire was in order to truly understand the stories of Daniel and the three friends. These are the stories that the kids learned about in VBS this week, and they're also the stories in the Bible that inspire us today. These would have been the stories that families would have sat around on the ground, around a fire, and passed on to their kids, because these were the stories about God taking care of them during their exile. It was a story about the Israelite people telling about their exile from Judah and Jerusalem to Babylon in 597 BC. It was then that the vicious Babylonians came and captured the king of Judah, Joachim, and his family, and his advisors, and all their families, and then they made him watch while they murdered all of them right before his eyes, and then they plucked out his eyes. Then they set the temple on fire. Can you even imagine the horror of that devastation? These Babylonians murdered, plundered, destroyed, and then they captured people like Daniel and his 3 friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, as slaves And those three friends and Daniel all had their names changed by the Babylonians later. Strangely, these four young men were taken into the palace and treated almost like royalty, except there were strings attached. First, I want to ask, do you know where Babylon was or where it would be today? It's Iraq, 60 miles southwest of Baghdad, with the Euphrates River running right through it. It was a formidable city with miles of thick walls all around it, over 200 watchtowers, 8 gates, 2 citadels, a huge palace. If you were to enter the Ishtar Gate, you would walk in and see these hanging gardens that Nebuchadnezzar had created for his queen, which was quite a sight to behold in the middle of the desert. It was known as one of the 7 wonders of the ancient world. In the center of the city was a bridge and a giant building, a ziggurat over it, with a temple to the Babylonian god Marduk on top of it. And in the Akkadian language, Babylon meant gateway to the gods. And to many, that's what it looked like. In Hebrew, Babylon meant place of Babel. And it was a place of confusion and sorrow for all those exiled. These four captives, we're told in the book of Daniel, were given the food of the Babylonians and told to eat. Now think about that for a minute. Imagine that you have been given the strangest food in a foreign land from your worst enemies. And now you understand a little bit. Daniel and his friends were young men of great character and integrity, and so they refused to eat the non-kosher food. They only ate vegetables and water. But because they seemed to be healthier than all the Babylonian counterparts, they were allowed to live and even given training for service. Daniel went on to interpret dreams. These friends had important positions in leadership. These guys were slaves in a foreign land, but because of God's provision, they were given favor in the eyes of the Babylonians. The problems came when they were required to worship the Babylonian god. Daniel, even though the temple was destroyed and he was a stranger in Babylon, he prayed face down, facing toward Jerusalem 3 times a day. And these three friends, they too held fast to their faith in the one God. That faith landed Daniel in a lion's den in chapter 6, and these friends in a fiery furnace in chapter 3. When we get to this place in the book of Daniel, the king has issued a decree that anybody not worshiping the golden statue is going to be thrown into the furnace. Now, think about that for a minute. What would you have done? What if it was your life, your family? Would you give in? Plenty of people are actually in that predicament today because people are still persecuted for their Christian faith in other parts of the world right now. So what would you do? These friends, they not only refused, they said to the king, "We have no need to present a defense to you in this matter. If our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, let him deliver us. But if not, be it known to you, we will not serve any other God." These guys had what we call today integrity. Their character was strong. Do you know what the root of that word integrity means? It means innocent and blameless and pure, but it also means whole, complete. It comes from a Latin word which means whole. In other words, to have integrity is having a whole, complete character, or only one you. Integrity is about the consistency of actions and values and principles, which leads to an honest, truthful, consistent life. Do you consider yourself to be a person of integrity? I think most of us do. But who do you know in your life who has the most integrity? How do they stay true to that? How do you stay true to your values and principles? What causes you to stray? Imagine their situation, the threat of a fiery furnace. Would you stand firm as they did? Would you go so far as to say that even if God does not rescue me, I will not do what you ask? In the ancient world, a piece of pottery was believed to have integrity if it was whole, complete. Sometimes people would try to scam others with a cracked piece of pottery by just painting over the cracks. But when water was put into it, it would leak. A jug with integrity did not leak. Think about that for us as people. We all try to paint over, cover up our flaws, don't we? But if there's too many cracks in our integrity, when the pressure is on, we can't hold it all together because we're not whole. It is only God who can make us whole. We need the cracks in our lives to not just be painted over or concealed. We need God to actually repair them and make us complete. We believe as Christians that that's what Jesus came to do, and that's what the kids learn at VBS. Jesus spoke about this so often in the Gospels. In fact, his harshest words for people who were hypocrites in the faith, the religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, because they were the exact opposite of integrity. These were people who looked good on the outside, claimed to have the right kind of faith, but their hearts revealed something different. They were all about the law on the outside, but they didn't really care about people. The leaders often cared more about whether Jesus was breaking the law by healing on the Sabbath than they were about the fact that he was healing someone and making them whole. Had Jesus known this evil king, he would have had some words for him. Jesus didn't think too well of hypocrites. We don't either, right? It's one of the most common criticisms of the church. I hear it all the time. I can't go to church. Those people are hypocrites. Well, to Jesus, what really matters is the heart and the people who need him. The sick, the outcast, the poor, the sinners, he welcomed them and condemned the hypocritical religious leaders, not because he expected perfection. He expected people to be real, honest, true on the inside and out. And Jesus realized that true integrity comes only with the help of God. That's why he welcomed all sinners, because they knew they needed God's help. And when they came to Jesus, what did he do? He made them whole, complete, integrity. He saved them, both physically and spiritually, just like he does for us today if we let him. Daniel and his friends, do you know how they had integrity? It was only through their faith in God. It was only their utter dependence upon him to sustain them and save them from that furnace. Their integrity gave them the faith to withstand a horrific trial, and they had mature faith. The question is, do we? It's different than the kind of faith you have early on. An immature faith says, God, I'll stand for you if you protect me, if you show me a miracle. So how about I'll stand for you, but you just make that idol fall down or turn the king's eyes away from me? A mature faith is different. It's like the three friends. It says, whatever happens, God, I will stand firm for you. Mature faith has that integrity, that wholeness, that complete loyalty to God. The three friends who say, even if God does not save us, we will not worship anyone else. So they were bound up and thrown into a furnace. And you know what happens with integrity like that? God responds. When the king looked into that fire and didn't see three men, he saw four. The fourth, an angel, sent by God to protect them. The king also saw something else. God had protected them beyond their wildest imagination because they were walking around in that fire unbound. They had been bound. And they were unbound and completely unharmed. When they were taken out of that fire, it says they were not burned. Not even a hair on their head was singed, and they didn't even smell a fire, which just cracks me up because I'm married to a firefighter. And let me just tell you that when Ed comes home from a fire, the whole house reeks of smoke. And when he puts his clothes in the washer, it takes 2 cycles. And when he takes a shower after a fire and comes out and says, I'm all clean, I'm like, no. He still smells like smoke. It lasts. To say they didn't even smell like fire is almost unbelievable. And yet they say that no words in the Bible are wasted. No detail is not important. Well, that's an incredible detail to think they did. They didn't even smell like smoke. You know, the only thing that was removed from these guys without harming them one bit were the ropes that bound them. Now, that's amazing because the Bible says the king's strongest men bound them up. And there they are, walking around freely in the fire. Talk about a miracle. Talk about an inspiring story. Think of the hope that that brings, that kind of story to us in times of trouble. Today, we walk through all kinds of fires in life, right? All kinds of trials, all kinds of temptations. Today, we often feel like we are bound up, don't we? And yet, our God is with us, just like that fourth guy in the fire. And by the grace of God, the chains that bind us are burned off and we are spared. Now, does this mean that every time we stand up for what's right, we'll be fine? No. Everyone suffers. Paul, the Israelites, even Jesus. Suffering is part of this fallen world, our fallen lives, this side of heaven. People still die for their faith in Christ in parts of the world today. What this means is that having integrity, having that whole complete faith, brings real life. Having a strong faith, no matter what the outcome, sustains us through everything. Having integrity like these guys means you could lose a lot in this life, but you never lose God. We are always tempted to give up our faith. We are always tempted to worship other gods. All you got to do is turn on the TV, get on the internet. Here we have all these temptations to worship money, fame, power. Jesus was tempted by all of that, by Satan in the desert. We are literally in a place like Babylon today, but there is a way for us to have integrity, to be whole people of character and faith, and have that real life. It is by the grace of God, the grace of Jesus, that enables us to stand firm in our faith and our convictions no matter what the consequences are. The question is not whether we will be tempted to give up our faith. The question is when and how. And maybe you're being tempted with that right now. So let us think about, what will we do? What will we say? What if we say with these friends that we will follow God no matter the consequences, because our God is always with us? And friends, that is the good news today, straight from Daniel, his friends, our Savior, and VBS. May we be whole people of integrity, completely loyal to God no matter what comes. And to all that, God's people say, amen. Friends, please stand and let us sing hymn number 188, Jesus Loves Me.